Well, I'm glad he knows my name. Having your Bibles tonight, turn with me, if you will, the book of Esther. Esther chapter number 4. Good to be with you tonight, and good to see each one of you young folks. I'm glad I wasn't asked to do that. I wouldn't have been able to preach tonight. But my, that was interesting, and but good to be with you this evening. The book of Esther, chapter number 4. It's always a joy for us to come this way to Florida and be in on the revival and then on the youth meeting and looking forward to what God's going to do. A lot of potential right here. Who knows what's going to take place? You realize in the next 10 years, you're going to be doing something different than you're doing now. You say, what do you mean? Well, many of you are in school, and if you're 12, 13, 14, 15, or older, 10 years, you'll be 22, 23, 24. You're going to be doing some different things in life. There's a new chapter in your life that's going to turn, a new pages that's going to come into your life. A lot of things are going to take place, and my God's given a lot of potential in this room. No telling what God might do in the days to come. The book of Esther is a very interesting book. As I was reading about the book of Esther, there was a king there. And for 180 days, that means it was for 6 months, he had a party. Can you imagine having a party for 6 months? No school for six. Could you imagine that? 6 months, I mean, having a party, having games, everybody just enjoying themselves, just having a great time. It went on for 6 months. Could you imagine how much food there was? Could you imagine how much candy was ate, how much ice cream was done, how much this, that, and the other? I mean, just imagine 6 months, 180 days of a party. Well, and then I find out that he has the last week of that party. The king gets a little bit too much wine. And I'll say this, any wine is too much wine. But he gets some wine in his system, and my, he's beginning to think and do different things. And then he goes ahead and he says, I want you men, go over and tell the queen to come over here to the party and to bring the royal crown. I want her to parade right before all my friends. And here it is. He had some drunken friends there. And show off her beauty. Show how beautiful. I got the prettiest queen in the world. And can you imagine with me as they went over there, and here they found this woman, Vashti, the queen. And they said, queen, the king desires for you to come over. The king wants you to come and parade yourself. Come before him. Wear the royal crown. And she begins to think, he wants me to do what? That's not right. My beauty's for my husband, and my husband alone. It's not for every other person. She says, let him know, I'm not going to do it. Can you see these men when they came back? And they told this king that had too much wine, and they told him about all the different things that has taken place. And he says, what? She won't listen to me? She won't do what I told her to do? And boy, here he begins to get mad. He's drunk. He's been drinking wine. He's drunk now, and he begins to do something that he should have never done. First thing, you should have never drunk, but I'm thinking, here he says, all right, I'll make it a law that she no longer will ever come in my presence again. And when he went ahead and signed it, he had a ring and he went ahead and made it known, she'll never be in my presence again. And that law could never be changed. Here it is, Vashti, the queen, she's forbidden. She now has to leave. She has to leave the area. She's separated completely. And all of a sudden, the king, here the next day, he wakes up. He goes ahead and thinks about it. He says, what have I done? And I'll say this, any person that gets any wine in them, you're going to do some crazy things and some stupid things in life. You'll do things you'll regret in life. Oh, they might have a nice billboard and it shows a nice young man or a nice young lady. Hey, but listen, that's not the truth of alcohol. Alcohol has ruined homes. Alcohol has killed different folks. There's teenagers in the grave all because of that alcohol. And here he's thinking, what have I done? And I'll say this, you don't want to get a king mad, because when you do, folks begin to lose their head. Well, I'm thinking for a moment, they came up with a plan. Let's go ahead and look over the kingdom, and let's find a new queen for the king. And so they put it out, and could you see on all the telephone poles, there was a piece of paper, and they nailed it up, looking for a new queen, and we want all the virgins to come in, present themselves. And here we find a young lady by the name of Esther. And as Esther goes ahead, and she comes before the king, She has a lot of oil baths and this, that, the other, and perfume, and, you know, to smell good, look good, and all the other things. Could you imagine with me? And here, Queen Esther, she's chosen. She's going to be the new queen. Well, in all this odds and ends, one of the things that her uncle, her mom and dad wasn't around, her mom and dad passed away, her uncle was raising her. And I'm going to get to our text where we're going to read in a moment. Her uncle was raising her, and here he says, now, Esther, listen, you'll more than likely, I think you'll be chosen. You're a beautiful young lady. He said, but this, I want you to keep who you are a secret. Don't let the king know. Don't let anybody know about it. Don't tell them that you're a Jew. Queen Esther, at that time, just Esther, she's looking at her uncle, but uncle, I hear what you're saying, but I'm glad of who I am. I'm proud to be a Jew. I'm thankful. He says, I know, but I want you to just be quiet about it. So here now, Queen Esther, she is now the queen. Esther becomes the queen. And my, could you just imagine all the different odds in the end? And I'm thinking for just a moment, you know what she did here as she was the queen? I could just imagine as she went ahead and looked over the providence with the king and different things was taking place. But she saw her uncle Mordecai sitting at the gate. And all of a sudden, there's a new man that comes on the scene. He gets in favor with the king. He's like like what we would call the vice president, second in command. And he goes ahead, and boy, folks are looking at him, and they would bow down to him. And one day, this man by the name of Haman, the second in command, he's walking by, and my folks are bowing down and bowing down. And Mordecai is standing there. And when he comes to Mordecai, Mordecai will not bow down. And I could see this man, Haman, getting mad. He looks over at one of his officials. He says, why isn't that guy bowing down to me? All the other folks are bowing. Well, he's a Jew, and Jews don't bow down to anybody but God. He says, I hate those Jews. I can't stand those Jews. Here they need to bow to me. And so he goes to the king. He says, king, there's a group of folks. They don't respect you. There's a group of folks, they don't obey you, right? And Maya, it seems like they're a problem. And the king, he went ahead, he says, Mordecai, you're a good man. You've done a lot of things. He says, just go ahead, whatever you want. Go ahead and issue a law, whatever you want to do. Here, I'll give you my ring, and you can go ahead and make it a law. It won't be a problem. So he makes this law that on a certain day, anybody can kill any Jew there is. And when you kill them, you can keep all their stuff. Could you see it now as different ones are hearing about it? On this particular day, the Jews are going to die. On this particular day, folks are going to kill the Jews and they'll take everything that's there. And when Mordecai heard it, all of a sudden he decided, I'm going to rip my clothes. He ripped his clothes, showing anguish. He sat down there in ashes. And here it is. Esther is looking out the window and she sees Mordecai sitting there. She writes a note, gives it to one of the young ladies that's attending with her. And as he reads that note, he goes ahead and writes back. And we come to chapter number 4, where Mordecai describes what's taking place. And if you'll notice with me in verse number 13 of chapter 4, the Bible says, "Then Mordecai command to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." Notice verse number 14. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Mordecai says, "Listen, Esther, just because you're the queen, don't think you're going to get escape from this. Every Jew's going to die. Every Jew is going to vanish. Every Jew, they're going to go ahead and destroy. You're not going to escape because you're in the palace. You and your father's house, everybody around you, all your kinfolk, they're all going to die." But that last part of verse 14, he says, "And who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther, who knows the reason that God put you right in the spot you're at right now? Esther, don't you realize here God has placed you in a spot, and who knows, this might be the main reason God placed you right here. I'm thinking for just a moment. Let me ask you a question. Why weren't you born in Russia, where the Bible is not found like it is in America? Why weren't you born in Africa, where folks run around in the jungles and they know not God? Why is it that God went ahead and allowed you to be born right here in the United States? Why is it that you're here in Florida and we have many different churches? I think there are 6 churches represented, good churches, churches that preach the Word of God. My, you got pastors, you got different youth workers. My, they love God. And my, here God has blessed you. And have you ever thought, why did God bless me? Mordecai said this, "Who can tell if the reason you're here is because of this situation?" You realize tonight that God has a special purpose for your life. And this evening, I want you to think with me on this thought. Grab a hold of this opportunity. Not everybody has the opportunity that you have. Not everybody has the different things that's come in your life. My year, you have a Bible in your hands. Not everybody that has a Bible. I spent time in Germany. I remember when Russians would come over to our church and they would sit in the congregation. I remember when I gave them a Bible and they would grab it, hold it up, and they would kiss it. They've never had a Bible. I'm talking about people 40, 50, 60 years of age, never once having a copy of the Bible. But here it is, you have a Bible. Grab a hold of the opportunity that God has given to you. I'm thinking for just a moment, not everybody has this opportunity, but God has blessed you. I want you to think with me about the opportunity of serving God. There are some places where they don't have a church. There's places in the world where young folks would love to come to church. There's places right now, a good friend of mine, he teaches by Skype to Chinese young people, Chinese teenagers, and Chinese those that are in college over in Shanghai and all the other different places. He actually teaches by Skype. He teaches English to them, and he says this. He says, "Those folks are without a church." Could you imagine waking up Sunday and you don't go to church? You don't even know what a church is. Can you imagine getting up tomorrow and you don't never have seen a Bible? I'm saying here we need to grab a hold of this opportunity. Oh, you and I, we need to get involved in our church. We need to get involved in our youth group. God has went ahead and placed you with a church. He's went ahead and given you a pastor, given you a youth director. Oh, here. And we need to take advantage of the opportunity. There's a great opportunity opened up. I'm thinking for just a moment how different ones have taken advantage of opportunities. Opportunities to serve God. There was a church, they went ahead and went knocking one day. Here it is, they knocked on a door, nobody was home. They knocked on quite a few homes, nobody was home. And so what they did, they took a gospel tract and they left it on the door. This gospel tract, some of you may have seen it, it's called God's Simple Plan of Salvation, written by Porter. And I'm thinking for just a moment, this gospel tract, a pink tract, not very lengthy, but it was a gospel tract. He went ahead, they put it on every door of any person that wasn't home when they knocked on the door. A lot of folks work 24/7, it seems like. You never can find them home. But here this young couple came home one day and they found this pink tract in their door. And they go ahead, they're not religious in any way, they have no thought of God, they have no desire for church whatsoever, but they look at it and they consider it to be religious, and so they take it in and they put it on the table. Now back then they had telephones that you did not keep on the side of you. You kept it on a table. It had a cord on it. It was always plugged in. You couldn't take it anywhere. They put it right there beside that phone. They forgot about that track for 2 years. It just sat there on the table, day after day. Every time the phone would ring, they would pick it up, and I'm sure they saw that track. God's Simple Plan of Salvation. The name of the church, Tri-County Baptist Church, Franklin, Wisconsin. And here they would answer the phone, and I could see them seeing the track. They didn't want to throw it away. It was religious. But somebody took the opportunity to just leave a track. They couldn't have children, and so they decided to adopt a child. And so they went through a lot of paperwork, a lot of different things. In the process, one of the questions was, what church do you attend? Well, they wanted to adopt the child so much, they didn't know if it would matter or not. But they said, we better put a church down. So they thought, what church are we going to put down? And they thought, the one by the that track on the table, that piece of literature. And so they put down Tri-County Baptist Church. They've never been there. So after they did that paperwork, here it is. It still has weeks to go, months to go before they get the child. But I'm thinking for just a moment, they started thinking, you know, we need to go to that church and see what it is. So they go that next Sunday. They sit in the church. They hear the Word of God. After services here, the preacher shaking hands with everybody. They come by and the preacher says, hey, why don't you come in my office? I want to give you a Bible. They go in his office. They sit down and he gives them a Bible. And the Bible is outlined with the plan of salvation. And he takes them from one spot in Romans chapter 3 and to chapter 5, chapter 6. And takes them to chapter number 10. And he shows them, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that young couple, those two folks, that husband and wife, they bow their head. They get saved by the grace of God. You say, why? Because somebody went ahead and took an opportunity to give a tract. I'm saying this, God placed you with your church. We need to get involved. We need to take a part. It might be what you get involved in, God might bless. It might not be immediate. It might be years down the road. It might be weeks. It might be months. But oh, we need to take a hold of the opportunity to serve God. I remember when I was saved at the age of 10. I was in Germany. Germany's a very cold place. Nothing like Florida. Nothing like Florida. We get snow hubcap deep on a Ferris wheel. I mean, it is deep there. But I'm thinking for just a moment. I remember getting saved in Germany. About 13 months after I was saved, I was listening to my preacher preach. I was 11 years old. And I remember my preacher preaching, and God began to touch my heart. And I would maybe surrendered my life as an 11-year-old boy to preach the Word of God. Now you say, Brother Aguiar, 11-year-old boy, he can't preach the Word of God. My question is, why not? I remember as an 11-year-old boy coming down to the altar. I remember going ahead saying, God, I don't have anything. I'm not great. I'm not a good speaker. I don't even know all the Bible. And just to be honest, I still don't know all the Bible. But I said, Lord, here's my life. I think you want me to preach. And I remember at 11 years old, surrendering to preach the Word of God. You say, what did you do? I grabbed a hold of the moment of opportunity. You see, God places things in your life, and I believe God wants us to grab that opportunity. God wants us to get involved with those different things. God wants us to do these different things. Hey, listen, grab a hold of it while the window is open, the window of opportunity, while you're able to grab a hold of that opportunity. You know, God's looking for a young man that'll say, here's my life, Lord. I want to keep it pure for God. I want to live for God. I want to be found in every church service. God's looking for a young lady that'll go ahead and say, God, here's my life. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. I just want to live for you. I want to sell out for you. I want to do the will of God, be found faithful in the house of God. Oh, jump at the moment of opportunity. There's an opportunity of service. There's an opportunity of sacrifice. Oh, when we can just sacrifice ourselves to God. A lot of times when I mention sacrifice, everybody thinks of money. Can I say money's not the only thing you can sacrifice? Paul made mention in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You ever thought about giving God your body? You ever thought about, God, here's my body, I want it to be used for your honor and your glory? That would mean there's things I'm not going to see. That means there's things I'm not going to listen to. That means there's going to be places I'm not going to go. I'm just saying here, oh, we needed to grab a hold of the moment of opportunity, of service, of sacrifice. And I'm thinking of surrender. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now thy Creator. You know, before you fall in love, it'd be good to remember now your Creator. Before you get a job, it'd be good to remember now your Creator. Before all the commotion and the drama and all these different things, before you get your driver's license, it'd be good to remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Have you ever thought about putting God first in your life now? Oh, Brother Aguiar, you can't do nothing for God till you get older. Whoever told you that? There's people after people found in the Word of God, young folks after young folks that have done something. You don't have to wait till you're 20 years old. You don't have to wait till you're married. You don't have to wait till you're out of school. You can live for God now. I'm saying here, grab a hold of this moment of opportunity. It may never come again. God's blessed you with the home you have, the church you have, the Bible you have. Grab a hold of that moment of opportunity. No telling what God can do with some young folks that are here today. I watch young folks surrender their lives for the Word of God. I've watched young folks give their life to do something for God. And today I've seen many of them preaching the Word of God, some on mission fields, some serving the Lord in the local church, some working on the bus, some always out on visitation. Oh, grab a hold. There's the opportunity of service. There's an opportunity of sacrifice. There's an opportunity of surrender. But I give you the last thought I have for this evening. There's also an opportunity of salvation. The Bible mentions in the book of Hebrews, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. You know, God doesn't always speak to everybody at the same time. I've been preaching in this ministry of helping small churches, to young folks, churches, adults, all the different ones, for about 30 years. Same ministry, same setup. I've been preaching for 30 years with helping churches. I pastored 5 years before that, helped start two churches. But I'm thinking for 30 years, the same thing. And I still find it every time. Here it is, when I'm preaching, there's some, they're just grabbing everything I'm saying. And then there's others, they're texting and doing everything else. Some folks aren't even listening. Some folks aren't even paying it. You know, God's not speaking to those. I can't guarantee you the next time you go to church that God's going to speak to your heart. That's why he said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Noah built an ark, and for 120 years he was known as a preacher of righteousness. So I could see him building an ark, preaching the word of God, building an ark, going down to maybe Lowe's and being a witness as he's buying wood and stuff, gopher wood, as he's doing all these different things, buying it and being a witness, telling folks of the good grace of God. Here, he was a preacher of righteousness. He gave out the word of God. And God shown his grace for 120 years. There was an opportunity. Anybody could get saved. 120 years. But there came a day that God shut the door. It was over. No more opportunities. No more chances. It was finished. It was over. The door's not being opened anymore. Today I'm just saying, if you hear its voice, you've heard your preacher preach. You heard your youth director teach you. They've given out the word of God. They told you you need to be saved. You've known it week after week, month after month, maybe year after year. Oh, while you have opportunity, you've heard it. And oh, we don't need to harden our heart. We need to get saved today. Paul said, today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Even in the book of Acts, chapter number 26, the great missionary of all missionaries, the Apostle Paul, preached the word of God to a man by the name of Felix, gave out the word of God. And Felix, I can see him scratching his head as he's listening to Paul. And he said this, at a more convenient time, I'll call you. It's not convenient. I want to do some things in life. There's some young folks, you would get saved, but you're thinking about some things in life you want to do. You want to sow some wild oats. You want to play with some sin. And you say, it's just not convenient for me right now. I've searched the Bible over and over, cover to cover, many a times. And I never found the convenient time came. I'm saying now's is the time of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Oh, why don't you grab a hold of this moment of opportunity. You need to get saved? Why don't you get saved tonight? Young folks, you are saved tonight. Why don't you surrender tonight? Why don't you go ahead and decide I'm going to serve Jesus? Why don't you decide I'm going to sacrifice my life? I'll give my life for the Lord. I want to present my body a living sacrifice. Why don't you grab a hold of the moment of opportunity? You say, Brother Aguiar, do you think it'll make a difference? In our text, Esther, she heard about this. Mordecai said, listen, don't think you're going to escape. It might be that God placed you here at this time for this reason. You find Esther, she goes ahead and begins to start a plan. And the plan as it's given, it works and the Jews are saved. Not one Jewish person died. Not one Jewish person was killed. Not one Jewish person lost any of their goods. I'm saying God protected them. Why? Because there was one young person that decided I'm going to live for God and take this opportunity. This evening, I'm just wondering, will you take that opportunity? It might be an opportunity for you to witness to your mom and dad if they're not saved. It might be an opportunity for you to show your friends the grace of God. I'm saying this, jump at that moment of opportunity. As an 11-year-old boy, I jumped at it. When I was 10, I jumped at salvation. Oh, I seen I needed to be saved, and I jumped. Oh, God said, whosoever will. Said, I'm part of whosoever. He said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I said, Lord, I'm coming. And boy, I got saved. What a blessing. I jumped at the opportunity. I I jumped at the opportunity to serve God. God's blessed you. You're here in Florida. You're here at this church. You're here at whatever church you're a member of. Now we need to take and grab the moment of opportunity. No telling what God would do with each one that's here. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray you might use the different thoughts we have tonight, different thoughts that have been given for your honor and your glory. Lord, there's a lot of young folks that are here, a lot of different ones. Lord, there's no telling what you might do if some young person would say, I'm going to take that moment of opportunity. I'm going to jump at that. Lord, there's some here this evening, maybe they need to be saved by your grace. Lord, I pray they'll jump at the opportunity of salvation. Lord, you made a promise. You said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Lord, there's a promise there. And folks need to jump at that opportunity to be saved. Lord, there's young folks, maybe it is you've spoken to their hearts. Maybe they just need to go ahead and decide they're going to live for Jesus. Father, I pray you might bless. Maybe you're speaking to hearts tonight. Lord, we're going to have an invitation. Maybe some want to gather around the altar. I pray they'll come. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you stand with me? The piano's playing tonight. God's speaking to your heart. Maybe you'd like to leave your seat and come around this altar. Would you jump at the opportunity? Young person, will you decide to serve God? Won't you come? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You want to gather around the altar tonight? Won't you step out? Lord, here's my life. I want to live for you. Lord, here's my life. I want to serve you. Lord, here's my life. I want to do what you want. You're not saved tonight. Would you come? Your youth director, your pastor, they'll be glad to take the Bible with the Word of God, show you how you can be saved. Would you come? Oh, take advantage of this moment of opportunity. It might not come around next Sunday. Take advantage of it. Young person, do the will of God. Let God have His will, His way in your life. Piano's playing, and Father, there's some here. Lord, you've spoken to their hearts. Some have gathered here. Lord, in just a moment, we'll sing the verse of invitation. I pray folks might step out. Lord, I beseech these young folks by the mercies of God that they present their bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, no telling what you can do in their lives if they'll just surrender to your will. I pray you'll bless the invitation. Have your will and way, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. She's playing hymn number 10 in your psalm book. God's speaking to your heart. You want to gather around this altar. Some are here tonight. Whatever your need might be this evening, why don't you step out? Oh, Jesus, keep me near the cross. God's speaking to you. Take a moment and grab that opportunity. Would you come tonight? As we sing hymn number 10, won't you come? Jesus, keep